Take your Bibles, Proverbs chapter number 3, the book of Proverbs and chapter number 3 in your scripture this morning, an easier book of the Bible to find right there in the middle, Proverbs and chapter number 3. And as you're turning there, Mrs. Sams, your sister is here. And we thank the Lord for you being with us. Melissa, thank you for coming and being our guest this morning. And then my brother is here, Jesse and his dear wife, Brittany. And we're praying for them just to move here and be a part of the class in church. But it's good to have them here and as our guest today. And grateful for folks maybe that were here for the conference or for vacation or visiting family, being with us in class and in church. And thank you to our class for being faithful. And let's be sure to greet those and thank them for being with us this morning. And then if we'll be sure to kind of make sure we get the cards and things, that'll be helpful this week as well. Proverbs in chapter number 3 is where we're going to go. Here in just a minute, we are in a series entitled Parenting with Purpose. And God has entrusted many families in our class with children, which certainly are a gift from Him. And so as we parent, or maybe we are a couple in a home that's preparing for children someday. And so as we parent, or as we prepare to parent, we don't want to just do it haphazardly and just kind of, you know, fulfill those years and then roll the dice and see what happens. We want to do it with purpose. We want to do it intentionally. And for the last several months, we've been learning about how can we parent with purpose? How can we effectively steward these relationships that God has given to us so that we can impart the mind of Christ into our children and rear them in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord? And this morning, we're going to talk about delighting in your children. Delighting in your children. And again, children are God's gift to you and I. And God wants you and I to take care of these precious gifts, and He wants us to delight in them. And sometimes that can be a challenge, but that's what we want to be learning about this morning. It's like the man who was in the supermarket, and he was pushing his cart, and he had some groceries and things in there. But also in the cart, among other things, was a screaming baby boy. And the man proceeded along the aisles, and as he did, he kept repeating softly to himself, "Keep calm, George. Don't get too excited, George. Don't get too excited. Don't scream. Don't yell, George. Keep calm, George." Well, a lady was kind of following him through the store there, and she was watching and really with admiration as this man was just kind of keeping his calm and keeping his cool and so forth. And so she came and she said to the man, "You certainly are to be commended for your patience in trying to quiet down little George there." And he said, "Lady, I'm George." And you know, sometimes with our children, in moments of tension and pressure, or in moments that go ways that we don't anticipate or plan for, it's good to be reminded we are to delight in our children. We are to thank the Lord for them. And I love being a dad. As we think of Father's Day today, I love being a dad. I believe by your presence here this morning that you too are thankful for family. You're thankful for the relationships in whom God has given you to steward, and you desire to cherish those relationships and to please the Lord with how you steward them as well. And yet we live in a culture that is striving to divide families. And if it doesn't happen physically, it's certainly striving to do so relationally and emotionally as well. Just a casual look at American families would lead you to a conclusion that many parents don't even like their kids. They seem bent on finding every which way to not be with them as much as they can. And in some homes, the children are doing the same thing. They get home from school and it's straight to their room where they're playing video games and on Facebook and whatever until the next day begins again. And it just seems like this vicious pattern of families that are connected by names but truly have no connection relationally at all. And that makes up much of the fabric of the American homes in the country in which you and I live. And I want to encourage us this morning to resist that, to strive to reverse that in our homes, to understand as moms and dads that our children need our time. They need our delight. They need us to truly enjoy being together. And if you will, to swim upstream and fight the tens of culture to say, hey, our home is going to be different because indeed it is a home that is built on the principles of the Word of God. effective parents are fighting these trends and are working to keep family first. They're working at living by biblical priorities and then drawing the boundaries around their home. You and I are not going to spend the time with our family and also do everything else we want to do. The person who's going to make family first and say yes to that is going to have to say no to some other peripheral things along the way. And we want to be tenacious in fighting for closeness in our home and transparency and strong relationships. We want to embrace the fact that God has given us lives for which we can influence, that literally can change the world as we move forward. And we want to understand that this is our mission, and we want to embrace the task that God has given to you and I. And so this morning, I want us to look at this value of delighting in our children and how to do it well. Look what the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 3 and in verse number 12. The Bible says, "For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth." Because God loved, he corrected. And he said, hey, the father who corrects is also one who loves because he delights in his children. We see the Bible says in Proverbs 29:17, "Correct thy son and he shall give thee rest. Yea, he shall give delight unto thy soul." There is a delight there in this relationship between a loving father and his children. Now, we can read those verses and we can focus on the discipline and the correction that is needed. And we've spent some time in this series articulating that for our homes as well. But we don't want to miss the delight, because children need to know that we delight in them, that we're grateful for God giving them to you and I. And so this morning, let's take a closer look on how can we delight in our children. First of all, I want us to see this morning the reason to delight in our children. The reason to delight in our children. Delight delights. And when someone knows that they are delighted in, it helps them in life. Husbands, when your wife knows that you delight in her, it helps her. Wives, when your husbands know you delight in him, it helps him. It helps any relationship to know that someone is being delighted by someone else. And children need to know that. They need to know that they're loved. They need to know that they are accepted. They need to know that they are enjoyed. Remember, the Bible says in Psalms 123, "Lo, children, inheritance of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward." If you got, you know, something in the mail that said you were randomly selected for some type of a voucher, some type of gift, or some type of a cashier's check or something, but you had to keep this form and redeem it for some a great number or amount of money or whatever, that voucher, that form would be something that you would take good care of because it had value. And as you redeemed it, you might get some sort of financial reward or some sort of tangible gift or something of that nature. And God says, listen, that your children are a heritage, a reward. I'm giving you their gift. And they should be valued and they should be loved and they should be accepted and they should be treasured and nurtured and delighted in. And so why should you and I delight in our children? And there might be days we honestly ask ourselves that question. Or there might be days where it's just not going the way that we thought it might go. So why should we delight in our children? Well, letter A, because God does. Because God does. The Bible says in Mark chapter 10, "But when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased and said to them, suffer the little children to come unto me and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of heaven." Here are the disciples keeping the children at bay. And Jesus saying, no, don't do that. I want the children near me. I want to be around them. God loves children. God loves our children, and God gave his life for them, and he gave them to you and I, and they are precious in his sight. And this certainly is a reason why you and I should delight in our children, because God does, and God wants you and I to do this as well. Secondly, because God tells us to. Why should we delight in our children? Because it's the only way to be obedient to God. If you are a father, if you are a mother here in class, you are commanded by the Lord to delight in your children, to show them the love of the Lord. The Bible says in Ephesians 6:4, "And you fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord." And we are to cherish the gifts that God gives to you and I. And certainly our children are God's gifts to us, and we're to be good stewards of those gifts, of the lives of these children, by bringing them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. And that certainly would include delighting in them. So we are to delight in our kids. God does. God loves them. He wants you and I to do that as well. And God tells us to show Him His love through us to them in that relational connection that we have in the home. Why else should we delight in our children? What's another reason? Well, let us see. Because we know we should. Because we know we should. Now, everybody here has a different background and paradigm. Some in here come from homes where you were loved, where you were delighted in, where you were accepted, where you were met with unconditional love, and you had a great home. Some did not. And yet it doesn't really matter what your background is. Coming into the context of your own home, I believe the average parent would say, I know I should love my children. I know I should delight in them. I know that I should care for them. And certainly every Christian parent has that knowledge because of their relationship with Jesus Christ. So we know we should do this. Well, the Bible says in James, therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. So if we know this is something we should do, God challenges you and I then to do it. It's one thing to know it. It's another thing to do it. And God says, listen, I want you to have the knowledge thereof, but then I want you to put that into practice. I want you to do something about it. I want you to delight in your children. And so there are some reasons why our children should be the delight of our lives, and we should delight in them. So that kind of answers the why. But then how? How can we effectively delight in our children? I want us to see, secondly, the recipe for delighting in our children. The recipe for delighting in our children. How can we effectively delight in our children? How can we communicate this love and this acceptance to them? Well, the word delight means to be pleased with, to have favor toward, and to accept. Okay? So we're talking about delighting. We're talking about to be pleased with, to have favor toward, and to accept. We want our kids to know we're pleased with them, that we have favor towards them, and that we accept them, that we love them. So what are some practical ways that we can delight in our children? Well, delighting in our children shows up, letter A, in a smile, in a warm smile. Now, that's such a practical thing. But stop and think about what do your children mostly see from you? Do they see a warm, pleasant countenance and smile? Or is it always frustration, chaos, disappointment? What do our kids see from us? And sometimes we kind of help the chaotic motions when we really need to stop and put some other things on pause and let our children just see love and delight and acceptance and favor and pleasure and so forth. And so that can be communicated very simply in a warm smile. Our children should see a smile at them. And that's as elementary and as basic and as bottom line as you can get. But there's a lot of kids that live in a lot of homes in America that don't see their parents smile at them. And that shouldn't be the case in our homes. That should be shown through a warm smile. How else can we communicate this, letter B? Through words of praise. Through words of praise. And we have beat this drum through this series, but our children should hear you and I praise them. Catch them doing something right and make a big deal of it. If you see them taking initiative to take out the garbage or clean their room or help a sibling or an honor preferring one another or helping someone at church or having their devotions or whatever good you see them doing on their own, make a big deal of it. Commend them for it. Praise them for it. Why? Because you get what you honor and you get what you praise. And delight can be spoken in words of praise. Catching them doing something right. Letter C, it can be communicated through sincere admiration. Sincere admiration. You and I as moms and dads need to have sincere admiration for our kids. Can I ask you three questions? Number one, do you admire your kids? Do you admire your kids? Question number two, what do you admire about your kids? What specifically do you admire about your children? Question number three, do they know it? Question number one, do you admire your kids? Question number two, what specifically about your children do you admire? Question number three, do they know it? Do they know it? A lot of times, all of that is communicated far too late. High school graduation, marriage or something, boy, this is what I thought of you, and the child never even knew it. So you and I, as moms and dads, need to look in the mirror and say, do I admire my kids? Well, I don't know, Brother Gabe, if there's anything in my kids to admire. Well, that probably could be said of you and I as well. But God has given gifts and abilities to everyone. So we need to find what our kids are doing well. What can we admire about them? What specifically is it? And then communicate that to them. Our children should know of our admiration. Our children should know of our gratitude for who they are, for what they are doing well. And so through sincere admiration, and again, not something manipulated or just kind of puffed up, kids can see through that very quickly, but sincere admiration, and then communicating that to them. Letter D, through accepting laughter. How can delight be communicated to our children? Through accepting laughter. Now, I'm not talking about laughing at your kids, and depending on what age they are, sometimes you have more opportunities for that than others, or depending on one of our four, we just know if something could happen to anyone, it'll be that child. And if anyone could spill, it'll be that child. If anyone could mess it up, it'll be that child. We just have one of those. And so we try to buffer the situation and help a little bit there. But there might be some times where there's some humorous things going on. But here I'm not talking about laughing at them, but I'm certainly talking about laughing with them, accepting laughter. It's good for us to teach our kids to be able to laugh at themselves. None of us are perfect. We're all going to make mistakes. We're all going to drop the ball. We're all going to let somebody down. We're all going to whatever. And it's good for us to be able to laugh at ourselves and say, hey, I blew it, or man, that didn't go the way I wanted, or hey, we lost. I don't know about you, I hate losing. I hate losing. I like to win. If we're going to play, I want to win. If we're going to play, I want to be on the winning team. If we're going to play, I want to hurt the other team or whatever, you know. That's just my nature. I do not like to lose. I'm a competitive person. Well, we're out sowing yesterday as a family. We parked the van. I take Lydia and Annalene. Susanna took Mariah and Joseph. And we had a map. We had two streets and a cul-de-sac, and I thought I parked about in the middle. So I said, honey, why don't you take Mariah and Joseph, and you guys go this way and wrap around. I'll take Lydia and Annalene. We'll go this way and wrap around. And we should meet on the other side of the street from the van, finishing all of our doors, invite people to church, and we'll go back over to the van, and we'll go to the next area, to the next visit. So they got their tracks, and they made their way, and I got my New Testament, my tracks, and I grabbed Lydia and Annalene, and we made our way. Well, we're coming about to where the van is on the other side now, and there's Susanna, Mariah, and Joseph, and they got to where the van was, and then they ended up knocking a couple of doors until we met up. So as soon as we saw them, Mariah said, Dad, we beat you. We got to the middle. You weren't there. We had to do some of your doors. I mean, she wanted it to be known that their team won, that they knocked more doors than we did, that they did it faster than we did it, that they did it better than we did it. And then she wanted everybody to know if we're going from the house to the van or from the store to the van or whatever, it's a race. Who's going to get the van first? Well, all the girls, all the guys, whatever. Who's going to buckle up first? I mean, and that's just sometimes the way people are. It's their personality. And maybe there's a bit more competition or there's a bit more of those types of things. And yet, when we think about all of that, there needs to be a basis of acceptance for whatever the personality type of the child is, and to make sure that they are accepted and that we can learn to laugh. You've got someone who's highly competitive that way as I do. Hey, you're not going to win them all. You're going to lose some. Now, I'm for not liking to lose. I'm totally against everybody gets a prize whether you win or lose. I'm totally against that. That's not life, okay? It's not life. Not everybody gets a trophy, and everybody gets a ribbon, everybody gets a rubber ducky. Hey, sometimes you just don't get anything, okay? That's called losing, which is why you want to win, and that's okay. I mean, in America, it's like, that's intolerant speech. Take that guy to jail, you know? And it's like, give me a break. That's life. But I may have a highly competitive child that wants to win, like her dad, but you're not going to win them all, and I better learn how to lose. I better learn how to be able to lose and still go shake the other team's hand and have a good spirit and not be a jerk. and not act like I can't handle a loss. Now, within me, I may be burning and saying, I'm going to get the next one. But I want to have a good spirit about it. And there needs to be some acceptance. There needs to be some ability to handle some of that. And that can happen when delight is shown. Letter E. How can this be communicated? Through physical affection. Physical affection. And this is big. This is another drum we've been beating through the series. Why? Because children need physical affection. And every time we've spoken of it, we've prefaced it in our society and culture with an understanding there's abuse in America towards kids, and God forbid it, but there is. But because of that, we have almost steered clear of physical affection in our homes. And that is a mistake. That is a mistake. Children need physical affection. They need hugs. They need kisses. Dads, hold your daughter's hand. Be physically affectionate. I'm not talking, again, you almost say that because of our culture and the pretense of it. There's almost this, what is he talking about? I'm just talking about a dad being a dad. I'm talking about making the investments necessary that when she becomes 12, 13, 14, and stuff starts changing in her body, and she needs to be special in somebody's life, that not some creep is going to get into her life because he's showing her what dad should have been showing her all along. That's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about. And it's physical affection. Well, I never had physical affection in my home. Great. You be the change agent moving forward. Because it's a mistake. It's a mistake not to have it. Physical affection is needed. And our kids need it. And we can communicate delight to them in that way. Being physically affectionate. Holding hands. Giving hugs. Kissing before bed, all those types of things. It's important. It's important. And I'm not saying, you know, take your high school kid to school and kiss him in front of his friends. You understand there's some limits and some common sense things, all right? Physical affection is important. Letter F, personal affirmation. Personal affirmation. Your kids need to know you love them and you're for them. When you think about personal admiration, I think this is in your outline. Girls need to know they're loved. And boys need to know they have what it takes. If you have a daughter, this is true for mom and dad, but dad on Father's Day, let me just kind of put a punctuation, exclamation point at the end of yours, all right? Your girls need to know I love you and you're special to me. Let me just stop and ask you a very simple question as a dad. How often do you tell your daughter, I love you? How often do you look your daughter in the eye and say, honey, you are special to me. I'm amazed. God gave you to me. I am so blessed. And you are so special to me. We want to off-communicate that. Off-communicate that. Mom and dad, communicating to girls that they're loved, that they're special. Communicating to boys, they have what it takes. They can do it. They can make it. Why? Because boys are always wondering, can I do that? You know, can I go to the next level or do the next thing or whatever? And you want to let them know, hey, you can do it. Joseph, you can do it. Man, you can get it done. And they may not. The just man falls down seven times, yet riseth up again. Encourage them. Give them that personal affirmation. Letter G, relax with them. How can we communicate delight with our children? Relax with them. Now, again, different personality types in this room. For some people, that comes a little bit more natural. Man, let's just go hang out, you know. For some, it's like, I got to be with my kids, but we got to be doing this, we got to be doing this, we're going to be doing this, da-da-da-da-da. And sometimes we overuse the two birds with one stone approach to life. And we need to just slow down and say, hey, let's just relax. Let's just spend some time together. And that might be a strategic family night. That might be a family vacation. It might be something of that nature, but it certainly is needed. It communicates you're delighting in them. Why? Because you're saying no to everything else and you're focusing on them, and that's big. Number next, treasuring every moment. Treasuring every moment. How can we communicate delight? Treasure the moments. How can we treasure the moments? Take pictures. And we live in such a digital society today. The scrapbook era is almost gone, you know. Here's the book, and here's when they were born, and here's, you know, a toddler, and then here's kindergarten, and here's elementary, and here's junior high, and, you know, here's all the family vacations and so forth. And you may not be putting a book together. I don't know how you and your family do it. But treasure the moments. Take pictures. Have keepsakes. Be able to look back and say, remember when, remember when, remember when. That's important. You want to treasure what God gives you. Letter I, pray for them. How can we delight in our children? By praying for them. praying for them by name, praying with them, begging God for their lives to please Him for their duration. Letter J, by thanking God for them. How can we delight in our children? By thanking God for them. By the way, if you pray for them enough and if you thank God for them enough, you eventually truly will delight in them. If right now in your heart there's not a sincere, genuine delight for your children, those two things right there will fix that. You pray for them daily by name and you thank God for them, the gift they are to your life, and that delight will come. There will be sincere delight. Billy Gay, what are you talking about? I'm talking about getting off work and wanting to know how fast you can get home. I'm talking about not wanting to be a part of every softball, bowling, and whatever league so you have more time at home. I'm talking about denying overtime so you can be home. When there's true delight, when there's a desire inside, it's evidenced by how we spend our time and all of that type of thing. And that comes from praying for them and thanking God that He gave them to us. Then, quickly, what are the results, thirdly, of delighting in our children, having our approval, having our acceptance in their lives? And it's something they're longing for. But when they have it, when we're delighting in them, when we're enjoying in them, by the way, when there's true delight, it's impossible to hide. Well, Brother Gabe, I do delight in my kids. They may just not know it. It's not true delight, because true delight cannot be hidden. I mean, when you love somebody, it can't be hidden. It's just out for the world to see, the way that we feel about the people in whom we truly care for. And so as we're delighting in our children and doing these things, what is it doing? Quickly, as we close, first of all, it connects you. It connects you. One of the things parents are constantly striving for is a heart connection with their children. Read Proverbs. Oh, they're going to watch us. They're going to hear us. They're going to see what we do. But oftentimes he says, son, give me thine what? Heart. Heart connection. I'm telling you, one of the biggest challenges and ongoing goals of parenting is to have your child's heart. Have your child's heart. How can we have that kind of connection? Delight in them. It connects you. They know you love them. You accept them and you appreciate and enjoy who they are. Letter B, it convinces them of your love. It convinces them of your love. Hey, you may tell them you love them a lot. You may try to show them you love them a lot, but you know who's going to be telling them you don't? Satan. Man, he's going to fight. I'm telling you, he's going to fight your home. He's going to tell your kids you don't love them. He's going to tell your kids you don't care. He's going to tell your kids that you have rules because you're trying to keep them away from some fun. He's going to tell your kids that no other home in America is like your home. Delighting genuinely in your children helps convince them of your love, that it's real, that you love them, that this love for them is deep in your heart. Letter C, it cultivates their heart to receive correction. It cultivates their heart to receive correction. We've talked about correction a couple of times in this series, and I'll not reteach those thoughts or principles right now, but I do know this. Correction will go further when it is readily accepted. We talked about not forcing a child into a corrective situation, but rather that there be a heart of acceptance. Hey, I'm accepting responsibility. I have done wrong. I knew it was wrong, and now I'm receiving my correction, my judgment, my punishment, because I deserve it. And we talked about getting to that level in parenting, but you know what helps cultivate that heart and level? Delighting. Because children in whom the parents really delight in, it cultivates a heart of acceptance for correction. Hey, I know mom and dad like me. I know they love me. I know they love being with me. But we have rules. We've been trained. We know what they are. And I willingly did this. And I need to be corrected. It helps develop, cultivate that type of heart. Then lastly, letter D, it gives them confidence. It gives them confidence. Have you ever seen a child with no confidence? Now, sometimes a child just shy, or sometimes you're just going through maybe a moment. But if you've ever been around a child that truly had just no confidence, I mean, they didn't think they could do anything. You know what that child is lacking? A cheerleader. You know what they're lacking? A fan. You know what they're lacking? A believer in their life. And that's where you and I can come in as mom and dad and say, hey, we can delight in our kids. We can accept them. We can give them affirmation. We can give them biblical love. And the result of that is it will give them confidence. It will give them confidence that with God's help, they can accomplish what He has created them to do. Effective parents that are parenting with purpose are striving to always delight in their children. May you and I this morning recognize they need our delight. And then some practical ways of how we can communicate that and the results that can benefit our home. And may God help us this week, maybe in summer, maybe the kids been home more, Father's Day, and all the things that we're enjoying at this moment. May we this week delight in our children, and may they be aware of that. Dear Heavenly Father, we sure love you. Thank you for the privilege that we've had to come and to meet together this morning. God, we pray that you would strengthen every home represented here today. Lord, we pray that we indeed would delight in our children and recognize they are your gift to us. And may just a simple thought or truth or an idea shared this morning help to strengthen our homes in a more effective way. Bless every family that's in attendance today. God, give them a great rest of the day and week. Help us to live for you and to be faithful in our spot again next week. Bless every dad today on Father's Day. And we'll sure praise and thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.